You're listening to EPN, the e-podcast network.
This is Enterprise Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and top executives who have experienced great success, as well as the sharing of their latest creations, products, and or services that can help you build your business, leading to business success. Today, once again, we are with financial expert Marvin Doniger, who has been sharing his expertise through his writings, teaching, and consulting for over 30 years. He has been involved with a number of startups along the way. His unique perspectives have helped countless people in all walks of life confront their financial challenges. Marvin, certainly a privilege to have you back with us on Enterprise Radio.
I'm glad to be back with you, Eric.
Likewise, certainly is a pleasure to have you back. You bring such wealth of and great valuable information on the financial front. So first of all, for starters, what was your objective in writing your latest book, Common Sense Prescriptions for Financial Health?
You know, it dawned on me, you know, I have an MBA from Columbia. I've taken a lot of courses in finance, and yet nobody in all the economics courses and finance courses that I had taken had showed me how to manage my finances. And in terms of talking to a lot of my friends and people that I've met, they feel the same, that they just don't know how to manage their finances. And the other part that they were struggling with was, how do they know how they're doing? Am I on the right track? Am I doing good? Or am I doing bad? And the books really are applicable to anybody. You know, whether there's somebody starting out, quote, at a minimum wage job or a senior executive, everybody needs to know how to manage their finances. And this book lays out in specific steps, or as I call prescriptions, how to improve your financial health.
Why did you choose to adapt the measurements that are used to assess the financial health of corporations to the individual?
Well, for number one, they were accepted. Everybody in the financial community agrees that these are how one measures the financial performance of a company or a corporation. And like it or not, we are all our own individual corporations. We are our own business. We are responsible for our income and supporting ourselves and our families. So, you know, the concepts are really similar. Both the business and the individuals are concerned about what is the relationship between the amount of money they bring in and their expenditures. And that's true whether you're an individual, you're an entrepreneur starting out, or you're General Motors. You know, the other issue is really cash flows. You know, where is the money coming from and how is it being used? And then the other part is really, where do we stand? You know, if we look at what we own versus what we owe, if you subtract those two, it's our net worth. You know, often we look at, say, having an expensive house and say we're wealthy, but if we have a mortgage on it that is larger than the value, we're not wealthy, we're in dire straits. And the last thing is really looking at how we spend our money. And I categorize them in three ways. One are fixed expenses, those which, you know, you have to pay every month. And an example of that would be, say, rent or car payment. Then there are the variable expenses, you know, things that we spend but we can have some control over. For example, food. We can control our food in the sense of whether we buy prime meat or we buy choice meat. And the last part is, you know, what is really our discretionary expenses? Now, what are those things we do to satisfy ourselves? You know, for my wife, it's her discretionary expense, what I would call her discretionary expenses, but what she would call her variable expenses, are shoes. It's very important to her, but for others, you know, that's really a discretionary. It's important to understand these differences because we have to cover our fixed expenses. We have some control of our variable, and we have a lot of control of our, if you will, discretionary expenses. You know, we can get a cup of coffee at Denny's as opposed to Starbucks and save ourselves a lot of money. So we need to really understand where we're spending our money and how we can improve upon that in order to achieve our financial success. That's the same thing with a business. Startups, in fact, I was just with a startup the other day that has huge fixed costs. They're spending millions of dollars on equipment, and that's a large nut to crack. And their variable expenses are low and they're discretionary, but they need to get up to revenues real fast. And that's something that entrepreneurs need to be concerned about, is how are they going to manage their expenses?
Good stuff. So tell me, what is the first step in improving one's financial health?
Well, like everything else, you need to figure out where you're starting from. You need to understand what your current status is. And then from there, you need to find what are your objectives. You know, my retirement objectives, and I'm just giving them out so people can understand what objectives might be, is to basically maintain my pre-retirement lifestyle and to serve as a financial backstop, if you will, to my children. And similarly, when you're starting out as an entrepreneur, what are you trying to achieve? Unless you can describe what you're trying to achieve, how will you ever know whether you got there or not? And then there's, once you understand what you're trying to accomplish, then, you know, you need a plan, some discrete steps that will allow you to achieve your objectives. As part of that, you need to base some assumptions upon that plan. You know, for example, one may assume that financing will be readily available, or that interest rates will remain low, or the dollar will remain strong, or whatever. But when you're making a plan, implicit in that plan are some assumptions. And that's the same thing as an individual. You're making some assumptions upon whether or not, you know, you're going to have to, whether you're going to incur large expenses or not. And that's important. Then you have some milestones along the way. It's one thing to say that in 5 years I want to be this, but unless you have some interim milestones, you're not going to know whether you're going to achieve that until the end. And if you're off track, the longer you wait to get back on track, the harder it is. That's true for whether we're managing our own finances or we're trying to start up our business. And one of the real key things for entrepreneurs is, how are they going to finance themselves while they're trying to start their business? And unless they can answer that question, you know, they're in for some hard choices and some hard times along the way. The surprises will come, and surprises are usually not positive.
Today we're joined by financial expert Marvin Doniger and author of his latest book, Common Sense Prescriptions for Financial Health, here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Talking about the entrepreneur, Marvin, how does the entrepreneur balance the financial needs of his or her business with his or her personal finances?
First and foremost, one must understand what their tolerance for risk. You know, are they conservative and are not willing to put a lot of money into the effort? Or are they willing to go for broke? And that's very important to understand that, because if in effect you're risk adverse, entrepreneurship may not be for you. And certainly it's not just the potential entrepreneur that has to deal with this, it's also their family. You know, it's one thing for the entrepreneur to be willing to go for broke, but if his wife or his or her spouse is very risk adverse and looking at anything other than money in the bank as being too risky, there's potential conflicts there. And an entrepreneur needs the support of his family going forward. And then also must understand, where is the money going to come from? You know, if they're Bill Gates, then they can self-finance. It's not an issue. You know, they may say, hey, we're going to go to our friends and family and look at them as a source of funds. And there's some risks with that, because if things don't turn out well, there are going to be some problems in the family, and certainly is a great chance to lose some friends. You know, are banks going to finance you? You know, that may or may not be a viable choice based upon the nature of the venture. If you're going into a well-known franchise such as, you know, a fast food, maybe bank financing is available. And lastly, you know, are you going to go to venture capitalists? And venture capitalists are very, if you will, astute and hard-nosed negotiators. Unless you're putting all your financial assets on the line, they're not going to be willing to do it, because they're saying, hey, you know, if you believe in this concept so strongly, and you would put all your money in it, and if you don't, you know, why should we support you? So that, you know, those are the sources, and each must, you know, really figure out where the money's going to come from, and, you know, what is the risk tolerance both of themselves and their financial partners.
It certainly helps to kind of see the options and what could be on the horizon as one does plan financially. Tell me, why is contingency planning so important for entrepreneurs, or for the entrepreneur's business and personal finances?
Very simply, and to give you a cynical answer, you know, anyone can succeed if everything goes according to plan. But, you know, unfortunately, as we all know, life always gives us some unforeseen challenges, shall we say. So, you know, some of the things that could happen, you know, things take longer and cost more. You know, here developing a product, that's the norm. Whether, you know, it's a computer project in a corporation or trying to develop a new application for the iPad or whatever, things generally take longer and they cost more. You know, funding may dry up. What are you going to do if your primary source of financing goes away? You know, what's your backup plan? You know, one thing is, you know, go into bankruptcy, but, you know, that's really a last resort. So you need to say to yourself, you know, what is my B, C, and D source of financing? And also, you know, what happens if your partner or your key scientist decides to leave the business for whatever reason? What are you going to do then? So certainly you need to have a backup not only for money but for people. And what are you going to do if, you know, God forbid, you know, you have a family emergency and, you know, as someone who really lived through this, you know, I, you know, was healthy, could cure myself, didn't smoke, didn't drink, exercised daily, and Bluebird of Happiness gave me, you know, a real surprise, you know, where I was diagnosed with cancer, and I spent 3 months in the hospital, and here I was, an entrepreneur, you know, who was supporting myself through my consulting practice, laid up in the hospital for 3 months, $1 million worth of medical bills. If I didn't have a plan B or plan C, you know, I would have been in dire straits, and my, you know, my family went through the doctors telling them that the body bag was, you know, up to my nose and zipped up to my nose, to someone who left the hospital unable to walk after 3 years of intensive physical therapy is able to walk. So you need, you know, to me, what happened to me was unimaginable, but, you know, the unimaginable can happen, and it's better to plan for dire circumstances and it not happen than the reverse.
Wow, that's something else right there. Appreciate your sharing that on a personal level. Tell me, what is the most important factor in achieving financial health as we conclude?
Like everything else, it's commitment. How committed are you to the idea? You know, when you're starting up a business, you know, is this a sideline that, you know, is a hobby? Or is this something that, you know, you're passionate about? My daughter, for example, is a physician, and she's totally committed to that. She has incurred, you know, large expenses to get her degree into where she is, but she's committed to helping people. So, you know, first thing is, are you committed? And realizing, you know, that you're going to have to make some sacrifices, and you need to recognize that up front. The road to success is not paved with gold. You know, there are some roadblocks. And, you know, even though you delegate responsibility and you have to, you know, delegate tasks, it doesn't mean that you're not ultimately responsible for what happened. And that means, you know, whether it's a business or, you know, you have a financial advisor. You know, the financial advisor, his goal is to support himself, and which may not be consistent with your goal of achieving your financial security.
Well, Marvin, it's always good to speak with you. Great information. Certainly appreciate your expertise on financial matters. Tell us, where can our listeners find you and your work online?
They can find it at booksbydoniger.com, and Doniger is spelled D-O-N-I-G-E-R. They can just Google me, Marvin Doniger, and there's a bunch of things where they can learn about my books, some of the radio appearances I've had, and other things that I've done.
Well, very good. Marvin, once again, thanks for taking the time to be with us here today on Enterprise Radio, and look forward to another visit in the future.
Thank you for having me.
You're more than welcome. We've been speaking with financial expert Marvin Doniger, and author of his latest book, Common Sense Prescriptions for Financial Health. And once again, for more information and for contact, it's booksbydoniger.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Pick up our iPhone or Android mobile app for your mobile listening convenience. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.